nice if a side tiftach v'shel gitzim asacha. So yesterday we were talking about taking achrayas for averos and the concept of Eino Talui Elabi, the great kfira at the end of time, which is the kfira of this is the way I was born, my head's not good enough, my heart's not good enough, my midos aren't good enough, I can't do this. Maybe Mamela, if I was born in a different family, if I was born in a different country, or if I was born in the 1700s and I was able to go hang out with the Baal Shem, so then I would be great. But look at me. I live in a very difficult time, in a very difficult space. I was born to my family with my shortcomings, with my difficulties. My boss is not being nice to me. He's the one who's not letting me spend some time doing, you know, he's supposed to do this in the middle of the day. So that's true. If your boss doesn't let you, you probably shouldn't do that. It's Geneva. But it's not your boss's fault. It's your fault. You have to daven for it more. And Eino Talui Elabanu. Each person has to decide for himself. Now the truth is, I just want to mention it because we didn't say it yesterday in the recording. And Yaakov asked an excellent question at the end of Aris HaTshuva yesterday, which was, if it's true that everything is Talei on us, so why are the Ashamnus, Bagadnus, Gazalnus all worded in the plural? So, as I mentioned then, and as I thought about more after that, so the Beis Halevi points out that it's really in Parshas Noach that he describes this at length, that when we act, when the human being acts, so those things which are under his control are part of his sviva, whether that be anything from the walls of his house to his animals. The Ishvitzer also talks about this as well, that our possessions are an extension of us. Kalvachomer, the people who are around us, that when we say Hashamnu Bagadnu, we're not placing the blame on others. Rather, we're exactly doing the opposite. We're taking the achrayas to a new level, where we're saying society's sins as a whole stem from me. Society's sins as a whole stem from me, like the Maisa with the, which you find by several tzaddikim, said by several tzaddikim. Each community wants to grab this as the memra of their own tzaddik. And even I think in general culture outside of the Jewish Dalit Amos of the Beis Medrash, people cite this in the name of different political figures and things like that. That the tzaddikim were accustomed to say that when they were younger, they thought they were going to change the whole world, and then they got a little older, they realized maybe I'll just change my country, and then they got a little older, maybe I'll just change my little city, maybe just my shul, my constituents of my shul, maybe just my family, and ultimately when they got older, to the point that they realized that they can't change anybody that way, the only way to change is to change with yourself, to start with yourself. So Yaakov's question was excellent. Ashamnu Bagadnu Gazalnu is basically a reflection of saying, I am responsible for the shortcomings in a healthy way, obviously. We're not trying to make people crazy. But in a healthy way, each person takes achrayas for not only themselves, but all of the different extensions of their personality and of their influence that surrounds them. That being the case, we say, we sinned, you know, Hashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu. Because if I would be acting differently, if I would take control of myself instead of trying to blame things outside of myself, so then I would be able to fix my family and my city and my state and my country and ultimately the whole world. But it all starts from taking achrayas for oneself. Okay, so the second paragraph here, which almost seems like a diversion from what the Rav Kook was talking about before. Is actually a continuation. So after a person comes to the conclusion that they take achrayas on themselves, and they come to the conclusion that Rav Elazar ben Derdaya no longer is blaming the hills, and he's no longer blaming the stars, the moon, and the sun, but it says Eino Talui Elabi, and he curls into a fetal position and cries himself to death in a state of tshuva until a baskel comes out and says, "Your mezumah l'chayim haba." So after that, so I told you, Rav Kook now does something slightly paradoxical, and he says, once you take achrayas, once you put the aleph beis back in order, and you realize that if, like we were speaking about yesterday, and you realize that imatam amin sheyecholim lekalkel tavim sheyecholim l'taken, you believe you were able to break, so believe you could fix and start to put the letters back in order. Realize you have everything you need; all the ingredients are there. It's just about putting them in order. V'achrei hayedia havehira. After this clarification, after this clear way of thinking, shasheila al davar shnei hafachim. And you come to the conclusion that so much as we claim three times a day by Kriyat Shema and then Kriyat Shema Lamita that Hashem Echad Shmo Echad is only one, Hashem Hu Elokim, and that brings us to the question of, well, how could we have two opposite things existing at the same time? Number one, Hashem is in control of everything, and at the same time, I am responsible for my actions. Shasheela, the question, al davar shnei hafachim benose echad, two opposites with regard to a single entity, he rak tchuna yichasis lanu. That is only a subjective experience that we have, legabe sechleinu hamugba, because of our bound intellect. Ve'enu shayechas klal, v'chok bore kol. And that does not, in even the slightest of ways, influence or have any bearing on the master of the universe, who is the writer of these laws, which seem to not work simultaneously in our mind. We have to realize that the reason they don't work simultaneously in our mind is because Hashem doesn't want us to operate on those principles. Hashem wants us to operate on the principle of free choice. But after we take achrayas, after the fact that we're looking backwards, adon kol achukim v'sivas kol asivos, Makor hachachma bona tvuna baruchu. Hinenu nechodim lahavin sheyesh makom gam lahashkafa shal bechirasa shal adam bechofsho vegam li bechirasa veichofsho. When you recognize, when you get out of your own small way of thinking, when you recognize that beyond our mugbal seichel, our bound up and limited capacity for understanding, there is the possibility of looking at things from the perspective of the master of the universe, which is that there is no stira, because in Hashem there's no such thing as stira when you come to the place of Hashem. There's no stira between our free choice and our non-free choice. Then when you understand that everything flows from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essential existence, and that our capacity to choose stemming from Hashem, and like the Tomer Devorah explained, we're getting close to Elul. It's time to start studying Tomer Devorah. Elul Magia Lachzor Betshula Kulam Tzrichim. Yeah, there's a Kabbalah from the Tzaddikim to study Tomer Devorah and Elul. There's even many versions of the Tomer Devorah are broken up into 40 different Chalakim, or 30 different Chalakim, either for Elul 30 or 40 up to Yom Kippur. It's broken up as a day-by-day thing. It's an excellent thing to study, especially if you've never studied before. Very, very Kedai thing to study.
How does one study?
How does one study? One purchases, one opens, and
one goes.
One opens their mouth and begins to recite. Now the truth is there's different commentaries in Talmud Devorah, there's English translations of Talmud Devorah. I would say if you've never studied it before, then just get the pashtus, you know, get a sefer if it's easier for you in English, and you feel like you won't be able to do it. Oh, there you go. Divided for daily study each month. What is this? It looks like Rav Yaakov Hillel. Is it? No, that's the Ramak is
all. Yeah, it's great to see you.
Okay, so there's different printings of it. It's good to get.
Which out?
What is a good parish on the Torah Devorah? What's a good parish on the Torah Devorah? That's a good question. That's a good question.
What does Tomer Devorah mean?
The palm tree of Devorah, written by Rav Moshe Cordovero. I'm not sure what a good commentary is offhand. I have a few at home. None of them stand out as being from any anyone, you know, it's not like, it might be that type of thing exists, but it's not coming to mind that, like, oh, Tomer Devor with the commentary of Chida or something like that. Maybe. If such a commentary exists, then it's probably very good. Tomer Devor with the commentary of Chida. Anyway, so...
Which does not exist.
It might. I have no idea.
It might.
So, how did we get there? The Tomer Devor speaks at length about this. It's one of the first chapters in Tomer Devor where he talks about how when a person does a chait, at the very moment that he's doing the chait, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pumping blood through his heart, he's allowing his limbs to work, he's allowing his eyes, his ears, his heart, his mouth, whatever limbs are being active in the chait, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally activating it. So Hashem is, so to speak, actively involved. Now, before we go further in Avkuf, because this is a very complex idea, in a number of places, Rabbi Nachman, Ich bin a neshama from Rabbi Nachman, Rav Kook said.
Ich bin?
Yes. So, Ich bin a neshama from Rabbi Nachman. So, Rav Kook here is maybe tapping into something that Rabbi Nachman says in a number of places that I'm aware of, maybe even more. He says it in Os Tesvav, Avukut Yemara. He repeats it again in Kuf Nundalid. He repeats it again in Kuf Samach Tes. There's this interesting idea. Let's just read it in Kuf Nundalid because there I think it's most concise and most clear. Rabbi Nachman says, you should know, Da ki yesh yiros nefulos. You should know that in the world there's such a thing as yiros nefulos, that a person can be afraid. And that fear is coming from yir nefula, from a fallen fear. Soloveitchik was once approached by a psychologist. I feel like someone said this earlier this summer, but I first heard it from Eli Marcus in Reishit during one of his Thursday night musters, and then subsequently saw it inside. That a psychologist once came to Soloveitchik around the time of Rosh Hashanah, and he said, "What's the deal with what we daven over and over again during the Yom Noraim? Achein tein pachtecha." We should be afraid. It's not good to be afraid. Fear is a very destructive psychological to be afraid. What good comes from being afraid? So the Rav Soloveitchik explained, no, the fear of v'chein tein pachtecha, that we should be afraid of Hashem, is the ultimate thing which gets us to not be afraid of anything else. In Rabbi Nachman's language, which is not really, he didn't make it up, in the language of Pnimi Satorah, there's something called the Yira Nefula, something called the Ava Nefula. That when a person sees something and is attracted to it, so if he doesn't immediately bring that thing back to its root, to the Rabbanu Shalom, so that's called an Ava Nefula. And the Tzaddikim said that if a person's in the middle of davening and all of a sudden he starts having Machshav Zaros about, anything. He's having that Machshav Zaros in the middle of davening, he's having thoughts about some girl that he's dating. No? So that's, and if overcome with a feeling of ava towards that person. Or even a friend. He starts thinking about his good friend who he hasn't seen in a while. He's overcome with ava. In a different way. So the Tzaddikim say, the Baal Shem Tov talks about how a person is supposed to take, the ava that he has for that person. He's supposed to return it back to its place. That's called an ava nefula. It's a misdirected ava. So long as, meaning that it could be kulled. If a person feels a great love for his children, or a great love for his friend, or a great love for his wife, in the middle of davening, it could be that he simultaneously feels that love and recognizes that as an expression of his love of God. That's if a person's on a very high level. If not, that's called an ava nefula. The same thing is true of yira. If a person is walking in the forest, and they're being attacked, they're surrounded by a pack of wolves, and they're able to be mala that yira to its shoresh, and to say, I'm not afraid of these wolves, I'm not afraid of this dangerous situation, but it's really just an expression of my yiras haromimus, of being afraid of the master of the universe. So if a person's able to do that, so that's exactly what Daniel was able to do in the lion's den. That's how he was able to get the lions off his back, because he elevated the yira to a yiras haromimus, to the place of its divine shoresh. And in doing so, he disarmed the danger that was surrounding him. So Rabbi Nachman then says an amazing thing. But Nachman says there's such a thing as mishpat. There's a concept we find in the Medrash Rabbah to Shoftim. This is the line that Rabbi Nachman quotes in all those places I just mentioned before. Ki yesh din lamata, ein din lamala. When there is din lamata, there is no din lamala. Rabbi Nachman says that literally the advice of the tzaddik is that a person, when he's going about his day, he should judge his limbs. What does he mean to judge his limbs? He should literally talk to his body. That he, his etzem atzmo, should talk to his limbs and say, eyes, how come you're not being used to study Torah? Ears, how come you're not being used to hear the cries of a person in need? Hands, how come you're not, how dare you pick up a piece of food and put it in your mouth? And to talk literally to your limbs and to judge your body piece by piece. Rabbi Nachman says, before a person goes to sleep, you're lying on your bed, you should literally judge each part of your body, do a scan of your body from head to toe, and to say, brain, v'gisa bo yom v'layla, nose, I don't know, what does the nose do?
Smell good things.
Well, how come you haven't been smelling good things? Right? And to literally judge your body piece by piece, to go down each part of your body and to judge. And says Rabbi Nachman, kishyesh din lamata, when there's din down here, when there's din below, in din lamala, there's no need for Hashem to judge you above. When there's, in other words, when you elevate din to its highest place, when you take the judgment that you're experiencing from the Bezdin Shalmala and you do it to yourself, you bring it down here, you elevate din to its shorish above, then there's no need for there to be din lamala. There's no need for there to be din lamala. And that's a little bit where Cook is talking about over here. That when a person takes achrayas, when a person starts to say, I'm responsible, so then it triggers something in Shemayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of a sudden says, oh, you're judging yourself? I'll take responsibility for all your previous actions because I see that you're on the company credit card. Once you say that you're on board, you're working for me, you're Mekabel Omach HaShemayim, and you take responsibility for your actions, Hashem says, okay, so I'll just use the company credit card and don't worry about it. You're working for me, it's on the house. So long as a person is not returns from his sins, is not acting in accordance with the inner Ratzon Hashem, and he hasn't yet put the letters of the Aleph Beis back in order, and he hasn't yet taken achrayas and say, I have everything I need, and I'm the only one who can serve Hashem, I'm the only one who's responsible. So long as he rejects his own responsibility, if there's not din lamata, then yesh din lamala. If there's no din down below, then there is din above. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does hold you responsible. And all of his negative actions fall squarely on his shoulders. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, you're not taking responsibility? There's a din which is the fula, which is down here in this world, and you're judging everyone else outside of you, you're judging the surroundings you were born into, you're judging everything else. That's called the yira nefula. That's called the din nefula. It says in Rabbi Nachman, when a person starts to judge himself and he elevates din to its place, then simultaneously Hashem takes responsibility for all his negative actions and says, katan alecha, don't worry about it, I'll take responsibility for it. Perhaps this is the secret of what you find in the Gemara, that at the end of the days, Yitzchak Avinu is going to say, Pal galayu, pal galecha. Pal galayu, pal galecha. Yitzchak Avinu takes responsibility for the actions of all of the Jewish people. And that's what you find also in Rishon Baruch Chai, and right, that the tzaddikim were makabal upon themselves the yisurin for the whole generation. Because they took responsibility. They said, I'm going to do a din. Since I'm in the Shama Koleles, I'll judge all of the different parts of my limbs and realize that I'm responsible for everything else. Hashem clears the bill. Because what does the Navi say over and over again? What does the Navi say in Yechezkel? Hashem doesn't want the most Rasha, Hashem doesn't want the death of the wicked. Rak, Hashem wants us Lashuv Nechato. Hashem wants us to return from our sins and yichya, and to live. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is just waiting for us to take a horizon and say, you know what, from here on in, I'm going to do it myself. Immediately after a person goes to, has this ha'ara of tshuva, l'mafreya, everything is given over to him, so that his whole life is returned to him, and all of his negative actions are wiped clean. Those become the property and the responsibility of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to take care of them as he sees fit. And all of them are seen, are valued at being something which is outside of the realm of this person's bechira. This is the mystery and one of the most confusing and strange esoteric parts of the mitzvah of tshuva. That as soon as you take achrayas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it off your hands. And with star from him, the Rishus HaNhaga Aliona, Rishus HaGavoh, immediately becomes subsumed under the understanding of the way that the world operates, which is called HaNhaga Aliona. The Sod HaYichud, as opposed to the Sod HaMishpah. Asher Kol Ma'asenu Po'eles, V'chol Zehu B'yachas Le'atzad Hara, Shebamasim. And then, and again, I do not really fully understand how this operates, but I believe that it's true because he's telling us that it's true, and this is borne out in other course as well. It's only true of those midos raos. It's only true of the negative part of my actions. That's taken by Hashem. Ma she'enikein hatzadatov kula hu kasher im chofsho shel adam. When I go out on a business trip, so the fact that I ate a lot and ordered a little bit of wine for our client, that gets taken on the company credit card bill. But the fact that I got a new client, that the company doesn't take credit for itself. They pay me handsomely for that. In the same way, lahavdil, when a person along his journey towards becoming a full-fledged Eved Hashem, who by definition is going to make mistakes along the way. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I'll take the bill, and here's a check for your efforts in being Marbe Kod Shemayim on the road. Asha Inkin Atzara Tov, Hulo Kashrim Chavsho Shalad. He maintains his bias over the good decisions that he made. And that's not taken by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you osa mida shetochin atshuva mizgaber, atzara rash memasa holech, benitach mirashus ha-bechira, achofshi shalom. And in accordance with the measurement, that this tochein atshuva is misgaber, and he does this exercise of talking to his body and saying to himself, hands, how could you do this? Feet, how could you do this? Stomach, how could you do this? And the negative side of his actions continues to disconnect from his free will, because as he's doing tshuva and he's taking responsibility, Hashem's taking off more and more. The nimtzur l'rishus ha'elyon is being given over to Hashem's responsibility. Shasham kula huto, and in the place of the Rabbonu Shalom v'lo yagar chara, no evil dwells in the place of Hashem. Kacha mistash yosir tzara tov shebemasov, the potochim chayav l'rishus b'chiras l'chof shom. Then what happens is, a person starts making more and more and more the right decisions, and it's attributed more and more and more to him, because again, we said his right decisions are attributed to him. Lahagil oro v'osher l'shasper, l'shav l'netzach. In order to increase his illumination in this world, v'osheru, and his wealth, l'shav l'netzach, both temporarily and forever. V'adam v'chol olamo v'mida yadua, kol olamo mis'alim b'zeh. And his whole world, v'mida yadua, kol olamim, and in a certain sense, all of the world, not just his individual world, but all of the worlds, are elevated in this capacity through his judging himself and taking responsibility for himself. And this becomes infinitely more clarified as he recognizes the Tova Elyon. Shamida Tova Hu Yesoda Kalis, Arishis Vigama Akris, Kola Avaya. that this goodness which permeates all of existence, which is the ultimate destination of every single human being, which is ultimately the destination of all the cosmos, not just every human being, but everything that fills the world. Kol ha'aretz mlo'a, tov Hashem l'chol l'rachama v'chol ma'asam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading us down a path of tov, and so long as we take responsibility for our actions, and we just keep focusing forward on what can I do, not who can I blame, who can I pass this on to, or how can I blame Hashem for the situation He put me in. So much as I take responsibility and say, no longer am I going to pass responsibility, in accordance with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu slowly, but definitely, surely, moves us along a path of good, till we're going to be able to take full responsibility for our actions. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also give us full responsibility for our actions, because everything we choose will be good. And all of our good choices, as we just said before, all of our good choices are attributed to us as opposed to our negative choices, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes off of us because we're Makabal Olam HaShemayim, and we say, Hashem, I'm working for you. I work for this company, I work for you. And this, the closer that I get towards that perfection, the more that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to, right? Like, to go back to the mashal of a company. The higher up your position is, the more you're close to working directly for the CEO of the company, the more liberties that you can take with the company credit card, because there's a certain trust that any expenditures that you have are with the company's interest in mind, because the company's interest is your interest. And as soon as you are bato ritzon chol lifnei ritzono, and you say, ani rotze lios yehudi, I want to do what Hashem wants me to do, in the language of the Gemara, that it's only the Seor Shavi Isa and the Shivut Malchus that are getting in the way, but really ritzoninu lasis ritzoncha, we really want to do the will of Hashem. So in accordance with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the free choice to be able to choose l'tov, and rezoche to the bracha of tov Hashem l'chol rachamav akum ma'asav, that Hashem is good to all, and His mercy extends on all, because miyesh din l'mata, if there is judgment below, then there's no need for judgment above. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu slowly brings us towards the ultimate tov, or rezoche to the day when we can say atov ha'metiv, on the good and the bad. Well, we won't have to say Baruch Dayan Emes anymore, but we'll be able to see that even what appears to be bad is really a tova amete with the gula shalim of Yichus Meir Bumer. Yes.